Aren't you thankful? Nothing greater than grace. God's amazing grace. You're in your car driving home. Thoughts wander to the game you want to see or the meal you want to eat, when suddenly a sound like any you've ever heard fills the air. The sound is high above you, a trumpet, a choir of trumpets. You don't know, but you want to know. So you pull over, get out of your car, and look up. As you do, you see you aren't the only curious one. The roadside has become a parking lot. Car doors open and the people are staring into the sky. Shoppers are racing out of the grocery store. The Little League baseball game across the street has come to a halt. Players and parents are searching the clouds. And what they see and what you see has never been seen before. As if the sky were a curtain, the drapes of the atmosphere part. A brilliant light spills up onto the earth, and there are no shadows, none. From whence became the light, came the light, begins to tumble a river of color, spiking crystals of every hue ever seen and a million more ever never seen. Riding on the flow is an endless fleet of angels. They pass through the curtains one myriad at a time until they occupy every square inch of the sky, north, south, east, and west. Thousands of silvery wings rise and fall in unison over the sound of the trumpets. You can hear the cherubim and seraphim chanting, "Holy, holy, holy." The final flank of angels is followed by 24 silver-bearded elders and a multitude of souls who join the angels in worship. Presently, the movement stops and the trumpets are silent, leaving only the triumphant triplet, "Holy, holy, holy." Between each word, a pause. With each word, a profound reverence. You hear your voice joining the chorus. You don't know why you say the words, but you know you must. Suddenly, the heavens are quiet. All is quiet. The angels turn and you turn. The entire world turns, and there he is, Jesus. Through waves of light, you see the silhouetted figure of Christ the King. He's atop a great stallion, and the stallion is atop a billowing cloud. He opens his mouth, and you're surrounded by his declaration, "I am the Alpha and the Omega." The angels bow their heads. The elders remove their crowns, and before you is a figure so consuming that you know instantly, you know nothing else matters. Forget stock markets and school reports, sales meetings and football games. Nothing is newsworthy. All that mattered matters no more, for Christ has come. Anybody excited about the return of Jesus Christ to earth? You know, when I read that, I wonder. I kind of imagine there's different responses. Some of you are excited. A few of you said amen. Some of you, when I read that, probably are disappointed, to be honest, because you got things you want to do. You don't want him to come back yet. I want to do this first, and then you can come back, Jesus. Some of you might be anxious about it because you're really not ready. But Jesus talks about this in the passage we're going to look at today, about the second coming of Christ, his return to earth. He promised he would come back. And he talks about it here in this passage we're going to look at today. It's in Luke chapter 21, beginning with verse 25. If you want to stand to honor God's word, let's read. Picking it up in kind of the middle of his talk, we're going to pick it up in verse 25. He says, "There'll be signs in the sun and moon and stars. On earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they'll see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near." He told them this parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you'll be able to escape all that's about to happen. That you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." Each day, Jesus was teaching at the temple. And each evening he went to spend the night on the hill called the Mount of Olives, and all the people came early in the morning to hear him at the temple. Father, thank you for your word. about this exciting event in the future of your return to earth, Jesus, when you come. And we pray today that you'll speak to us through your word. We want to hear the message that you have for us today. So we open up our hearts and minds to receive your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So the setting for this talk, Jesus, it's Wednesday night. He's been all day long on Wednesday teaching in the temple. Him and his disciples are making their way across the Kidron Valley up to the Mount of Olives, where they spend the nights when they're in Jerusalem. On the way, the disciples begin talking about how beautiful the temple is. Look at those beautiful stones and everything's so beautifully adorned. And Jesus said, you know what? Now one of these stones are going to be left upon each other. It's all going to be destroyed. And the disciples wanted to know, when's this going to happen? And Jesus proceeds in this passage that we read today and the passage before to explain some signs of things that are going to happen in the future. Some of them have already happened. Some of them referred to the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. Some of them have been happening throughout time, this time between Jesus' first coming and his second coming. And some of them still have to happen, all these signs of the time. When we get to his talk to verse 25 that we started with today, Jesus is talking very clearly about things that happened right before his second coming to earth, coming back to this earth. He promised he was going to do that. Now, to help us understand it, there's a lot of different opinions about how the timing of all this stuff's going to happen. Have you ever heard about that? Anyway, personally, I believe in the pre-tribulation perspective. Not everybody believes that, but I do. I think it's scriptural. But anyway, that I think before verse 25, the church is going to be taken out. The rapture of the church. Jesus said in John 14, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'll come back and take you to be with me where I'll be with I am. So that's my personal opinion. I think Jesus is going to take the church out of here. I believe we're going to be missing these signs that we just read. We'll already be gone. Now, some of you don't believe that, and that's fine. So this is probably for you, this part. And people disagree on what order it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. We know that. Christ is going to return. And Jesus talks about it very clearly here, about the things that are going to happen right before he comes back to this earth. There's going to be signs revealing the soon coming of Christ. He mentioned several here in this passage, and he did some earlier as well, but we looked at last week. First, there'll be unusual signs in the sky. Jesus mentions the sun, the moon, and the stars. He also says the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Now, he doesn't give us great detail on what that means, but we can know that it's going to be so spectacular, so unusual, that everybody will know something's going on. Something unusual is going on. It's going to shake people up. It's going to be something amazing. Now, the God that created everything that exists can most certainly shake it up, can he? It's not hard to imagine how God could say, okay, let's shake this place. There's a lot of people in our world that are worried about this thing called global warming. I think they should worry about global shaking because God is going to shake this place up when it comes close to the end. In Revelation chapter 6, it mentions these signs in the sky that are going to happen before Christ returns. Peter, in his sermon that he preached at Pentecost, quoted from the prophet Joel these words, I will show you wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. These things are going to happen before the end. But I want you to pay special attention to that last sentence. Everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. That's what God wants. That's what God wants. Yes, judgment's going to come upon the earth someday. But this is what he wants. He wants to save everybody. And everyone who calls on his name will be saved. That's what God wants. That's God's heart. That's what he wants. Now, if people refuse to accept that offer of the amazing salvation that God offers us, then they suffer the consequences for that. But God offers us this amazing salvation in the name of Jesus. At that time, Jesus said, there'll also be confusion and anxiety. He said, nations will be in anguish and perplexity. Of course they will. They're not expecting this. They don't believe Jesus is going to come back like the Bible says. They don't believe Jesus is God in the flesh, that he's the Messiah, the Savior. They don't believe that. So when all this things is happening to get ready for Jesus to come back, they're going to be so confused what's going on. I can just hear the news reporters talking on TV right now, trying to explain this. They won't be able to explain what is happening. They'll be so confused, and they'll give in to anxiety because they can't explain it. What they should do is turn to God and look to God during this time. Instead, there will be confusion and anxiety. It's amazing when you read the book of Revelation and seeing this all fold out, that the book of Revelation says, when all these signs are happening, these terrible things are going on, several times it says, and the people would not repent. And the people would not repent. And the people would not repent. You know what that tells me? They could repent. They had the opportunity to repent and trust in God, but they don't. Confusion and anxiety. He also says there will be disturbances in the oceans. He says the roaring and tossing of the sea, and I don't know exactly what that means, but I do know that our earth is covered with about 70% of earth is covered by the oceans. And if there's problems in the oceans, it's going to cause problems everywhere. We're talking about hurricanes and cyclones and, you know, flooding and all kinds of things can happen when there's problems with the ocean. Ships probably going down and harbor cities being flooded. I mean, amazing things are going on. Jesus said, when all these things are happening, when you see these things, signs in the sky, confusion and anxiety, ocean disturbances, I'm coming back. Those are signs that I'm coming back, his return to earth. The return of Christ to earth. Jesus said these words, at that time, the Son of Man coming in a cloud will come in a cloud with power and glory. He will return to earth visible to all. Do you remember when Jesus came the first time? He was born as a tiny little baby in Bethlehem. Almost no one knew that he was born, except for a few shepherds and the mom and dad and maybe the people that loaned him the place to be born. I mean, almost no one knew. This time, everybody's going to know. Revelation 1:7 says, look, he's coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the people of the earth will mourn because of him. Now, I don't pretend to know how he's going to pull this off, but I know God is God. He can do anything he desires to do, and somehow everybody's going to see him when he returns. He will return to earth with a spectacular entrance. Says he's going to come in a cloud. Come in a cloud. When Jesus left this earth, a cloud hit him. He went up in the sky and a cloud hit him from the disciples when he left. And after he left, the disciples were staring up into the sky and some angels showed up and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking to the sky? This same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. He's going to come back on a cloud. And this says he will come back on a cloud. It's interesting because in the Old Testament, the cloud was a symbol of God's presence. The Shekinah glory of God, the visible presence of God. Remember when they led the people in the Exodus through the desert? He led them as a cloud by day. They knew God was with them because they could see the cloud. When the law was given on Mount Sinai, God came down and there was a cloud that covered the top of the mountain. When they built the tabernacle in the wilderness, a cloud dwelt over the tabernacle. When they built the temple in Jerusalem, the cloud of God's presence came down and filled the temple, and they couldn't even go in. In this story, when Jesus returns, he comes on a cloud. This time, the glory of God is not in the cloud, but it's in the person of Jesus Christ. He comes back. Spectacular entrance into this earth. He'll return with overwhelming power. The first time Jesus came to earth, he came as a helpless little baby. The next time he'll come as the Lord God Almighty. Excuse me one second. I have a drummer working over here overtime on this side. I'm back. There's something wrong with that speaker monitor, and it just wants to make these funny noises sometime. And I knew it was going to aggravate me the rest of the service, so I had to go pull the plug on that. Where was I? He'll return to earth with overwhelming power. First time he came as a helpless baby, right? Not the second time. He's coming in the power of the Lord God Almighty. And it says angels are going to show up with him. Did you know that? It says in 2 Thessalonians, this will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. Now, in the scripture, whenever you see one person in the presence of an angel, you know what they do? They freak out and they're scared to death. Can you imagine millions of angels just showing up? It's going to be amazing. It's going to be powerful. But the most powerful thing is not the angels. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of heaven and earth, the Lord God Almighty, the King of kings and the Lord of lords is coming back in amazing, overwhelming power. No one can stop him. Do you know the devil can't stop his return to earth? Because he's going to come and defeat the devil once and for all. The devil cannot stop his return. All the enemies of Jesus can't stop his return. All the people that don't believe in him can't stop his return. All the nuclear weapons in the world can't stop the return of Jesus Christ. He's coming back in overwhelming power. He'll return to earth in great glory. Jesus said himself, the Son of Man will return in great glory. Now think about it. When Jesus came to this earth, he laid aside his glory. He became a man like us. The disciples in the Mount of Transfiguration got to see him glorified just for a moment. But most of the time, he laid his glory aside and became a man and lived on this earth like us. But when he died on the cross, was risen back from the dead, went up to sit at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, he was back in the glory. And when he comes back, this time the glory is with him. He's not leaving it behind. He will come in great, amazing glory. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heaven in glory, the scripture says. He will return to complete our redemption. Jesus said, when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Your redemption's drawing near. Now, redemption refers to the way in which we are saved. We are saved because Jesus redeems us. We're redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. He died for us on the cross so that we could be redeemed, we could be saved. When we place our faith in Jesus Christ, repent of our sins, and place our faith in Jesus Christ, he saves us, he forgives our sins, we are redeemed. So when Jesus says, lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near, what is he meaning? Well, I know that when we are saved, we're saved through faith in Jesus Christ. But the Bible also talks about us being saved, and we will be saved. So we're redeemed by Jesus Christ. We're being redeemed. We will be redeemed. When Jesus comes, it's going to be the final part of our redemption, the finishing touch, so to speak, the complete, final, perfect redemption, not just redeemed from the forgiveness of our sins, but redeemed from even the effects of sin, all the evil and all the sin that's in the world and all the damage that's been done by sin. We're redeemed from everything. We're redeemed to a whole new life. Amen. Someone say amen. This is good. This wonderful redemption that is forever and ever and perfect. We're redeemed for that. And also, it's our Redeemer that's coming. Our Redeemer, he's the one that redeems us. Lift up your heads, your redemption draws nigh. He's coming. Jesus wants to make it clear the return of Christ to earth is near. He gave a parable of a fig tree, and he says other trees. He said, when you see the leaves coming, you know that summer's about to come. And he said, so when you see these things happening, I'm telling you, you know we're getting close to the coming of the kingdom, of his return to earth. So we can see how these prophecies are being fulfilled. these prophecies are being, they are the leaves on the fig tree, symbolically, the prophecies that we know we're getting closer. In the Bible, the fig tree is often used in Scripture to refer to the nation of Israel. In order for the prophecies to be fulfilled, many of them need to be fulfilled. Many of them have already been fulfilled, but one that had to be fulfilled for sure was that Israel had to be a nation. Do you know, for thousands of years, Israel wasn't a nation. But in 1948, an amazing thing happened, and Israel became a sovereign nation again in 1948. That's a fulfillment of prophecy. That had to happen for the end to come, right? It's one of the leaves on the fig tree. We can see it happening. It's amazing to me that this little tiny country named Israel, that is surrounded by all these nations that hate them and want to destroy them, exists and prospers today. They are the most prosperous nation in that part of the world. This little tiny country, because God has ordained it. It's a fulfillment of prophecy. And there's many, many, many more. Obviously, not all the prophecies deal strictly with Israel, but a lot of them do. There's so many of them. Many of them have been fulfilled already. Many of them are being fulfilled, and some yet to be fulfilled. Leaves on the fig tree, telling us we're getting close. Now, Jesus said, this generation will not pass away until all these things have happened. Now, people like to debate about what he meant by that. Of course they do. We love to debate, don't we? Some people say, well, that only refers to the generation that was alive in the time of Jesus that saw the destruction of Jerusalem. That's what he meant. Some people think it only refers to the end times, like the close to the times that we're in. Some people said it's both. Well, to me, it makes sense that it does refer to the times when we are getting close to the end. Jesus, when you see all these things happening, this generation won't pass away. I think it means we're getting close. I can guarantee you this. You can bank on this. We're closer than we've ever been to the return of Christ. I'm positive about that. We're getting close. We're seeing prophecies fulfilled. During this time, we can be thankful that we can trust in the always true Word of God. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Think about that for a minute. It's a promise. He's going to return just as he said. The second coming of Christ is more certain than the existence of heaven and earth. It's more certain than the existence of heaven and earth. He's going to come back. It's encouraging, isn't it? We have something to count on throughout eternity. We can count on the Word of God, what Jesus says. Jesus says in his Word that he loves us, and guess what? He's going to love you forever. You're not going to stop. Jesus saves you through his shed blood on the cross. Guess what? He's going to save you forever. He's not going to change. Jesus offers you eternal life, and guess what? He's going to give you that forever. He doesn't change. His words will never change. His words will always be true. They will never pass away. James 5:8 says, you too, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Everything that all the parables, Jesus told several parables in the Gospels that give us that message. I'm coming back. You need to be ready. You don't know when. We need to be ready. So be ready. So what are we to do while we wait for Christ's return? You notice that Jesus, all the way through here, the disciples keep asking him, when is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? And Jesus doesn't tell them when it's going to happen. He just says, here's what you do until. Be ready, and here's what you do. We must be careful not to be lured into frivolous living. Jesus uses two words to describe this. The first word is the word dissipation. That's an odd word. I had no idea what that meant. It means a careless ease about life, a lighthearted kind of silly approach to life. Medically speaking, it refers to someone having a hangover after they've been drunk. So it's not a good way to live. And the worry is, the concern is, Jesus says, don't be lured into that kind of life. that you'll forget about the importance of the kingdom of God, the importance of loving God and serving God, and you go and live in just a silly, meaningless life, investing in the things of this world, giving in to temptation. Don't give in to that. Don't be careful. He also used the word drunkenness. People sometimes use alcohol to self-medicate themselves, to try to escape what they're feeling or going through. And Jesus says, be careful. Don't be led into that. You'll end up sinning against God. He also said, be careful not to be controlled by anxiety. Don't be weighed down by the anxieties of life, he says. And that probably applies to all of us, doesn't it? Aren't there temptations in our life for us to be anxious? You know, things that are going on in our own lives can tempt us to be anxious. They can weigh down on us. Things that are happening in our country that we don't like can weigh down on us. Things that are happening in the world can weigh down on us. All these things can just pile on us, and we can be just kind of weighed down on the worries of life. But Jesus says, do not let this happen. And I think we should consider when Jesus says to be careful about not doing that, we should not do that. We can, instead of thinking about our worries, we can lift up our eyes and think of Jesus and trust him. The scripture says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Trusting Jesus is the cure for worry. Some of you need to hear that today. Trusting Jesus is the cure for worry. As we see the end approaching, and we don't know exactly when he's coming, but as we see the end approaching, don't worry. We can trust him. Trust him completely. We must be alert and expecting Christ's return. Jesus said we should always be on the watch, which means to be alert. He doesn't want us to be caught off guard. Doesn't mean you have to go around trying to predict Christ's return every day. Or, you know, study prophecy.com. Or I don't even know if there is such a thing. But anyway, there probably is. You can study those things if you want, but don't be so upset that you're so anxious about it. You got to predict it. You got to figure it out. Just be alert. Expect Christ's return. See the prophecies being fulfilled and be ready. Be alert. And we must keep praying until he comes. Jesus said, pray that you'll be able to escape all these things that are going to happen. It's interesting that Jesus told his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane very similar things. I'm going to go pray. He says, I want you to watch and pray. They did neither. They fell asleep. And Jesus is telling us the same thing. As we approach the end of time, watch and pray. So the command is, don't fall asleep. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually. This should be the day where the time when you're the most alive spiritually that you've ever been. Be in love with Jesus Christ. Serve Jesus Christ with all your heart. Be alive, fully alive. Keep watching, keep praying, waiting for his return. We must be ready for Christ's return. And we do that through living by faith. Jesus says that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Now, the only people that are going to be able to stand before the Son of Man are those that believe in Jesus Christ. The rest will fall before him. To stand before Jesus Christ at that day means you'll come into his court and hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. You'll hear him say, you are my child. You've been forgiven of your sins. You can enter into the heaven that's been prepared for you. We need to be ready for the return of Jesus. In whatever order it comes, whether he takes us out of here first, whether he comes back, whatever the order is, we need to be ready. He is coming back. So the question is, are you ready? Peter writes about the return of Christ with some good practical information. He says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God. Live holy and godly lives. So instead of spending too much time on trying to predict when Jesus is going to come back, live holy and godly lives. That's where the focus needs to be. I mean, you can study it and try to, you know that we're getting close, but live holy and godly lives. That's what God has asked us to do. Heard a story of a gardener that took care of an amazing estate in northern Italy. Beautiful castle and beautiful grounds. The grounds were just immaculate. There wasn't a flower that wasn't perfectly trimmed up, and bushes and grass, everything perfect. He was giving some tourists a tour of the castle and the grounds, and the tourist said, the grounds are amazing. This is an amazing place. Who owns this, and how long has it been since the owner's been here? And the gardener said, 10 years. And the guy said, wow, well, why do you keep it in such immaculate condition if he hasn't been here? And he said, well, I'm expecting the owner's return. And the guy said, well, was he coming next week? And the guy said, no, but I'm expecting him today. And that's really how we need to live. We need to live ready for whenever Christ is going to come get us. Whenever that time comes, we just need to be ready and live holy and godly lives. It's an exciting time. It's an exciting time for those that believe in Jesus Christ. This is going to be an amazing, exciting time. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's not an exciting time. It's a bad time. Because it isn't going to go well for those that don't know Jesus Christ at this time. God, I said earlier in the scripture, He wants everyone to be saved. And everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. Be ready for the return of Jesus and for Jesus to come get us. We're going to sing a song together as we close our worship service. I love this song. It is well with my soul. And I hope it's well with your soul today. This song also talks about that future return of Christ to earth. Amazing time when He will return, and it's going to be exciting. So we're going to sing this, and you can sing it as your prayer and a time of worship and praise to God. Also, you can come and pray if you need to come pray. This altar is a place of prayer where if God has spoken to you in some way and you need to respond to Him, you can come and pray. Let's stand together and worship our Lord.